from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Welcome to our special program as Hank unravels the troubling teachings and spiritual phenomena of the Word of Faith movement sweeping our nation and world, and addressed in his timely resource, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Masses today in the church are turning towards false teachers and prophets who promise prosperity. The good news is that thousands of people have been rescued from this movement through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and Hank Hanegraaff's landmark book, Christianity in Crisis. Listen now to how one life was transformed.
Yes, got saved when I was 17 years old and started out in a charismatic church that was basically a faith in faith type church. And one day when driving down the road, listening to the radio, I heard Hank Hanegraaff the first time, and I began to be offended by what he was saying about teachers that I respected, and then he played tapes. And when I heard those tapes, my love for Christ and the Word of God rose up in me, and I began to really study the Word of God. That led me into ministry. I went to seminary and continued to listen to Hank, and so many lives have changed. Thank you.
Stay tuned to find out how you can order your copy of this landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And now here's our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. One of the reasons the Word of Faith movement has become so popular in Christian as well as secular settings is that everyone wants to know the secret. Everyone wants to have a magic bullet. You know, the secret to health, the secret to wealth, the secret to successful relationships, the secret to making a fortune on Wall Street, if that's still possible, the secret to maintaining your perfect weight. The list is endless. So when Rhonda Byrne informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life, a secret harnessed by the greatest people in history, people like Plato and Shakespeare and Abraham Lincoln and Albert Einstein, well, of course, the world sat up and took notice. And within weeks, the secret topped bestseller lists and then morphed into a cultural phenomenon. In fact, it's a special theater event hosted by Lisa Gibbons, and this is Beyond the Secret. So it's taken on a life of its own because it gives simple formulas, fast food formulas, for very complex problems. You ask, what is the secret? Well, according to Rhonda Byrne, the secret is the law of attraction. The greatest teachers who have ever lived have told us that the law of attraction, says Byrne, is the most powerful law in the universe. And through this law, you create your life on the sole basis of what you think, your thoughts. Byrne says the creative process that she uses in her book, The Secret, was taken from the New Testament in the Bible. And she says it gives you an easy guideline to create anything you want in three simple steps. You ask, you believe, and then, of course, you receive. Sound familiar? Kenneth Hagin had the exact same formula as the father of the faith movement. And of course, Rhonda Byrne likes to point to herself as a prime example. She said that in order to transform herself from fat to thin, she thought thin thoughts. And she did not so much as look at fat people. In fact, here's exactly what she writes. She says, if you see people who are overweight, do not observe them, but immediately switch your mind to the picture of you in your perfect body and then feel it. As a result, she says, I now maintain my perfect weight of 116 pounds and I can eat whatever I want. According to Rhonda Byrne, the error is to think that food is responsible for weight gain. Well, in short, for Rhonda Byrne, thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or whether evil or bad. On the one hand, she says thin thoughts produced her thin body. On the other, and here's the dark side, 6 million Jews brought the horrors of the Holocaust upon themselves by their thoughts. As her book, The Secret, makes clear, the law of attraction never slips up. For Rhonda Byrne, the genie that causes the universe to give you whatever you want is this law of attraction. But here's where I want to turn a corner. For Joel Osteen, who is communicating from a quasi-Christian pulpit, it is the word of faith that is our genie. As such, he is committed to the notion that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. And he explains this in his mega bestseller, Your Best Life Now, when he says you have to begin speaking words of faith over your life. Your words have enormous creative power. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, he says, and it works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Well, obviously, I want to make clear that Osteen and Byrne have noteworthy differences, but they are united in the belief that the force of faith is so powerful that even God, however you define him, is bound by its irrevocable reality. Look, if occult sources like those referenced in The Secret pose the greatest threat to the body of Christ from without, I contend this. The deadly doctrines disseminated by these prosperity preachers pose the greatest threat to Christianity from within. They have created a crisis, and to avert that crisis, a paradigm shift of major proportions is desperately needed. A shift from perceiving God as a means to an end to the recognition that He is the end. And while change must come, it clearly will not come easily. Those who are dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose occupy powerful platforms within evangelical Christianity. They're like the popes in the medieval church. If John Huss would speak out against indulgences, if John Wycliffe would speak out against transubstantiation and indulgences, if he dared to take the Bible and translate it into the language of the people, there was a consequence. That's why Wycliffe's bones were exhumed, burned, and the ashes spread to the wind. That's why Huss was burned at the stake in the midst of his writings. That's why William Tyndale died his body ablaze and cried out, "O Lord, open the eyes of England's king." The problem then was that people were biblically illiterate because there weren't English Bibles. Today we have another problem. We have all kinds of Bibles, but we're not reading them. And therefore we are falling prey to a brand new generation of prosperity popes. They control vast resources, and they stand to lose multiplied millions of dollars if they're exposed. In fact, I would say this, the stakes are now so high that those plunging Christianity into crisis are willing to do and say virtually anything to silence opposition. Paul Crouch. He's the founder of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. He went so far as to suggest that if God does not kill heresy hunters like me, he would. Benny Hinn took it a step further when he said, on TBN's Praise the Lord program, "You have attacked me, your children will pay for it." Well, despite whatever threats they might make, despite the consequences, I am absolutely, resolutely convinced that Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, is a book that desperately needed to be written. It's a book that I pray will serve not only to expose the cancer that is ravaging the body of Christ from within, but also to effect enduring changes among those who dare to take the sacred name Christian upon their lips. Now, when I first wrote about this subject, it was in 1990. That's when I began writing. I wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, and I have often said that if I knew what I would face as a result of writing that book, I would have never written it. And a lot of people immediately jumped on me and said, that is cowardice. But what I was trying to communicate to people is simply this, that God gives us the grace we need, and oftentimes he does not give us the grace we need until the moment we need it. And if I have taken it on the chin, so to speak, as a result of writing Christianity in Crisis in the first place, what in the world would possess me to write Christianity in Crisis 21st Century? It's not just a revised, expanded book, but what would cause me to write a book like that, knowing what happened the first time around? And I'll answer that question. You'll hear it over the next 2 days. It is the testimony of literally thousands upon thousands of people around the globe, whether I go to Seoul, Korea, or South Africa, or China, or London, or Scotland. I hear testimonies of people transformed by that book, leaving the counterfeit and embracing the genuine article. And so this time around, I'm exposing the new generation of prosperity popes. And we're going to talk about their prostitution of faith. We're going to talk about how they demote God and deify human beings. We're going to talk about how they strike at the very heart of the Christian faith, their atonement atrocities. And then on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to talk about how they pervert the whole concept of finances, such that they make men and women captive to their own desires. We're going to talk about how they have taken Christianity and conformed it to the culture. We're going to, quite frankly, talk about some of the cons and cover-ups. In addition to all of that, we're going to talk about the real dark underbelly of this movement. An underbelly in which they have literally caused people to die as a result of their formulas. We're not talking about an academic ivory debate here. We're talking about ideas having consequences, and some of those consequences lead to death spiritually, and others lead to death physically. So this is not a game we're playing. And my purpose is not to attack people. It's not about Benny Hinn or T.D. Jakes or Rhonda Byrne. It's not about Kenneth Hagin or John Hagee or Creflo Dollar. It's not about Rod Parsley. It's not about Paula White. It's not about Paul Crouch. It's not about a whole bevy of new faith teachers. Ultimately, it is about the people who are devastated by the skin of the truth, stuffed with a great big lie. Now, Christianity in Crisis, right now, it's available to those listening in through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry. Nothing to me. It goes to this ministry to carry on this radio broadcast in a time where people need to hear truth so that they don't fall for the skin of the lie. We'll be right back on the other side of the break, and we're going to talk about little gods and the demotion of God.
If you'd like to receive a copy of Hank's significant new resource, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, just call our Resource Center at 888-7000-274. Or you can go online right now to our secure website at www.equip.org. And don't forget to check out the autographed and special leather limited edition options. Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
My mother died in 2005 of breast cancer. We had been born and raised in the Pentecostal movement, full gospel kind of church. Later on in life, my parents migrated to the Word of Faith movement, and my mother had noticed a lump in her breast very early on, and because of the Word of Faith movement, because of her beliefs that she was going to get healed, she was just determined that she was going to get healed, she neglected to seek medical treatment. Eventually, that tumor grew and grew and grew until it was an open, weeping sore, consuming most of her breast. And of course, by the time we took her to the doctor, you know, they did surgery, but all of her lymph nodes were positive, and she died 6 months later from malignant cancer. So my question is, how do you reason with those Christians who just stand so firm on that belief?
The Apostle Paul warned that even among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth. Nearly two decades ago, Hank Hanegraaff's prestigious Gold Medallion Award-winning book, Christianity in Crisis, alerted the world to the cultic movements within Christianity that threatened to undermine the very foundations of the biblical faith. But in the 21st century, there are new dangers, new teachers with rock star status who threaten to do more damage than the last. Get your copy now of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century by calling toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online on our secure website 24 hours a day at www.equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. And don't forget to inquire about the autographed or special limited leather editions. And now, once again, here's our host, Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, a reminder that you can go on the World Wide Web at equip.org and order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century online. You can do it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and via the phone by dialing 888-7000-274. Again, 888-7000-274. Well, in the first segment, we talked about the faith dictum that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you can create your own reality, which is essentially New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. But the Word of Faith movement ultimately takes men and elevates these men and women, people, into the status of little gods, so that you can do what you want and have what you want in this universe because of your status. Ontologically, by nature, you are a little god. And the way in which Word of Faith teachers communicate this notion is they say, look, a dog begets a dog, a cat begets a cat. What in the world do you think gods beget? They beget little gods, and you are the little gods that they beget. Now, what they say is so outrageous and absurd that it's hard for me to convince people sometimes that this is indeed what they teach. Sometimes it takes hearing it with your own ears, as in the case of Creflo Dollar, where he marshals Philippians 2:5 as a pretext for exhorting his devotees to talk themselves into having this kind of equality with God.
And if God now produces man, and everything produces after its own kind, if horses get together, they produce what? And if dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together and say, let us make man, then what are they producing? They're producing gods. Now, I got to hit this thing real hard in the very beginning because I ain't got time to go through all this. But I'm going to say to you right now, you are gods, little g. You are gods because you came from God, and you are gods. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in.
And he is so convinced, this Creflo Dollar, and his minions that he has chanting after him, so convinced that we have equality with God, that he says we're, and this is a quote, "We're not going to shine as lights." By the way, this quote is in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. "We're not going to shine as lights till we accept our equality with God. We're not going to shine as lights until we stop thinking that being equal with God is dishonor and robbery." And of course, dollar is not alone, and that is the hell of it. You have people like Joyce Meyer, who is equally convinced, just as a cow produces a calf, so God, she says, produces little gods. Here's how she puts it.
And you know, I was listening to a set of tapes by one man, and he explained it like this, and I think this kind of gets the point across. He said, you know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little gods? If he's God, what's he going to call them but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a human kind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call us? Doesn't the Bible say we're created in his image? Now, you understand, I'm not saying you are God with a capital G. That is not the issue here, so don't go trying to stone me or yell blasphemy at me.
Well, I think we should yell blasphemy whether you say you are a little God with a capital G or a little God in the sense that she communicates in her books and her television broadcasts. Because the bottom line is this, and Miles Monroe, another prosperity teacher, minces no words in underscoring this. The bottom line is you have the same nature as God himself. Indeed, according to Monroe, you create your own world the same way God creates his world. We license God from the perspective of Miles Monroe, not the other way around. And he's emphatic and direct. He says, I'm going to say it again. Prayer is man giving God authority or God license to interfere in the affairs of man. In fact, God, and then he says this, I'm going to take a deep breath because some of you religious people aren't going to understand me. Are you ready? God cannot do anything in the earth without a human's permission. Let me repeat that. God, according to Miles Monroe, cannot do anything in the earth without a human's permission. Now, as I demonstrate in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, that is utterly absurd. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he does with people as he sees fit, because it is God, not we, who is the sovereign of the universe. Well, as prosperity preaches, craft human beings in the image of God, so too they create God, and this is, again, pardon the expression, the hell of it. They create God in the image of humanity. When T.D. Jakes gets done talking, one is left to wonder whether humans look more like God or God looks more like humans. Of one thing we can be sure. Jakes is convinced that humans were created directly out of God. So as to leave no doubt, he provides an exposition directly from the mouth of the Almighty. He says, God said, I wanted to see what I look like. So I made you to be in my image. You have my DNA. You were created out of me. You are a derivative of me. You are the picture of me in the earth. You are an exact duplicate of the image of God from the perspective of prosperity preachers. Now, in biblical theology, we reflect God's communicable attributes. We have rationality and will and love. But we do not reflect God's incommunicable attributes. So we are reflections of God. We are not reproductions of God. But according to the faith teachers, you cannot have dominion in the physical world without a physical suit. And Rod Parsley, he is resolute in this teaching. He says, why does God say, ask of me? Why does he say that? And he answers his own question by saying, because he can't do it on his own. He can't get what he wants on his own because he placed you in authority on this earth. Well, does God say, ask of me because he can't get what he wants on his own? Is Rod Parsley right? The presumption makes God chuckle. In the very passage invoked by Parsley, God scoffs at the pretension that a mere mortal can thwart his sovereign rule over the affairs of humankind. And David, of course, puts it plainly when he says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Whereas the prophet Daniel records, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? And yet, despite such scripture, faith preachers exhort devotees to reread their Bible, and in doing so, they are certain that they will utterly have persuaded their devotees that God can do nothing apart from the permission of his people. And I'll tell you, this gets worse and worse. The quintessential deification is a deification not only of man, but a deification of the devil. And John Hagee is outrageous in this regard because he asserts that in the end, the Antichrist, animated by Satan, will be able to emulate the death and resurrection of Christ. In one of the most horrifying scenes I've ever witnessed on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, he attempted to convince a worldwide audience that the Antichrist will be fatally shot by a Jew and then, like Christ, rise from the dead. We're going to be talking about that and atonement atrocities, which strike at the very heart of Christianity on the other side of the break. In the meantime, here's what I want you to do. Go to the phone, 888-7000-274, and order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. You need to be one of those who is equipped to reach a lost and searching generation with the truth when the faith teachers are peddling fast faith cures.
It is good to have someone enlighten people about giving, because I too had given money into Peter Popoff and Robert Tilton. And then I analyzed Tilton's message. I never could learn anything from him. It was always putting you under siege of being disobedient or making you feel under pressure that if you didn't give, you were doing something wrong.
Blaise Pascal said that truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. Learn to love the truth and contend against the practices of today's modern counterfeit spirituality when you order Hank's landmark book, Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call toll-free at 888-7000-274 or order online at www.equip.org anytime, day or night, on our secure website. That's www.equip.org. Please don't forget to ask about autographed or special limited leather editions. Don't go away. We'll return to the program in just a few moments. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year. As you hear on the Bible Answer Man, there is no shortage of spiritual hunger that people have. Lives are being changed. Hank takes calls regularly from people who've been deceived by counterfeit religions or cults. Others simply don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why, then the historic Christian faith will be ever more marginalized in our culture. So help us finish our fiscal year strong. Please pray for us, and as the Lord leads, contact us with your generous financial support. And thank you in advance for your help. To receive Christianity in Crisis 21st Century for a gift to CRI, just call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org. Here's just one example of a transformed life.
I just want to thank Hank Hanegraaff and CRI. I was very involved in the faith movement when I first got saved, and I fell hard because I was discouraged that I wasn't rich and I wasn't driving around in a nice car. And CRI got me back on my feet and got me back into the Word, into what's important and what's true, and that God is not a magician. Faith isn't a magic word. And I just want to thank CRI. And when I get home from work tonight, I'm going to get online and make a monthly donation.
And now, once again, here's the author of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
The book is available, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And then when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. I used to say 888-7000-CRI, but a lot of people have a hard time finding the CRI on their BlackBerries now, so I'm giving you the number, 888-7000-274, so that you can dial that number and order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. Well, we started today's broadcast by pointing out that in the Word of Faith camp, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. As such, the faith preachers have convinced their followers that what happens in their lives, whether good or bad, is a direct result of what they say. If you, like they, are wealthy and prosperous, well, words created your reality. Conversely, and here's the dark side, if your baby dies, if your wife contracts cancer, you are a prime suspect. And to buttress this kind of bias, prosperity preachers bludgeon some of the greatest heroes of the Bible. Joyce Meyer is a classic case in point. She is not content to merely fault Job for the whirlwind that blew his life into oblivion. She went so far as to cruelly implicate him in the deaths of his 10 beloved children. With a bravado that boggles the mind, she charges Job with speaking words of fear and bringing about, from her perspective, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the logical extension of her theology. If you have calamity, you need look no farther than to your words. Well, in the second segment today, we looked at the phrase little gods, and we were reminded of the stark reality that virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. The ramifications become even more acute when the text of Scripture is so horribly taken out of context and then abused as a pretext in the process. Indeed, when we as humans lose perspective on the limitless chasm that separates a holy God from a sinful humanity, the very essence of Christianity is compromised. How far we have come from an age in which just a fleeting glimpse of the Almighty was enough to cause the holiest man in Israel to cry out, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips," to an epoch now in which someone like a Kenneth Copeland can tell those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips that after the fall, God's prerogatives were so diminished that when he initiated the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham could have just turned around and said, and these are his words, "Forget it, old man. Who needs you?" Well, as bad as that is, I want to turn for a moment now to a further error, which is a direct assault on the very heart of Christianity. Because in Orthodox theology, the end of the atonement took place on the cross. In faith theology, the cross was only the beginning. And no one, from this perspective of the atonement, is more decisive in shredding the central element of the Christian faith than Joel Osteen. Here's what he has to say.
A little over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in a manger. He went about bringing hope and healing everywhere he went. Yet for some reason, the world hated him. Finally, they nailed him on the cross. And they thought that was the end of it, but that was only the beginning. For 3 days, Jesus fought with the enemy. It was the battle of the ages, light versus darkness, good versus evil. But thank God, Satan was no match for Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus crushed Satan's head, and he forever, once and for all, defeated and dethroned our eternal enemy.
It seems that Joel Osteen has become the darling of the Christian world, but from my perspective, it's almost inconceivable that anyone, particularly someone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon his lips, would so blatantly reconstruct the centrality of Christ's atonement upon the cross. And yet, in the face of Scripture that plainly tells us that by his death, Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, Osteen has Christ finishing the work of redemption in hell. In fact, in his version of Scripture, even Christ's victory in hell was insufficient to atone for our sins. After the resurrection, from his perspective, there still had to be blood that was sacrificed for our sins. There still had to be a price paid. These are his words, not mine. That is why Jesus, he says, presented his own blood in the high court of heaven as a sacrifice for all our sins, past, present, and future. In fact, according to Osteen, that is precisely why Jesus commanded Mary not to touch him after the resurrection. He asked, why didn't Jesus want Mary to touch her? He says, I'll tell you what it was. Jesus had just risen from the grave, and he still had his holy blood on him. It was this blood he was going to use as a sacrifice for our sins. Did you hear that? I can't think of a worse prostitution of the gospel. Far from having some sort of magical efficacy, the blood of Jesus Christ is emblematic of the death of Jesus Christ. There is no warrant whatsoever for suggesting that sometime between his encounter with Mary and his encounter with Thomas, Jesus went to heaven to sprinkle his blood upon the mercy seat, as in faith lore. Indeed, believers throughout the ages have celebrated the precious sacrament of communion as the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sins. Again, it was not Christ's triumph over Satan in the cauldron of hell, as Joel Osteen contends, that atoned for sin. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Not Satan, into your clutches I submit my spirit. Nor did the debt remain unpaid until Christ ascended into heaven. As this Osteen contends, the debt for all sin, past, present, and future, was paid by Christ's passion on the cross. And then, with his passion complete, Christ utters the word tetelestai. Secular Koine Greek, it meant the debt has been paid in full. So in the common language of the day, Christ said, it is finished. It is paid in full. No further debt remains to be discharged in this world or the next. Now look, I'm picking on Osteen because he has made a cottage industry of communicating this horrible attack on the atonement of Christ. But he's not alone. Joyce Meyer is so convinced that Jesus paid for a redemption in hell that she tells devotees you can't go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. Let me repeat that. She says you have no hope of going to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. Well, of course, error begets error, and heresy begets heresy. And so you have people like Creflo Dollar saying, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became born again. That simply means that your spirit was transformed from a state of spiritual death to life in a split second of time. But have you ever considered that Jesus went through the exact same thing? Often, in the midst of our own religious views of him, we forget, says Creflo Dollar, that he was actually the first person to ever become born again. This, my friends, is a horrendous error. If Dollar is right, everyone from Abraham to Zechariah would have had to be reconciled to God through their works. And that, biblically, is far from the case. The Bible, from first to last, demonstrates that the saved throughout history come to faith in exactly the same way, by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. In fact, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament extensively to drive home the reality that no one has ever been or will ever be declared righteous by observing the law. Well, much more could be said. The point here is to say that ideas have consequences. And in the case of Word of Faith theology, the consequences are unthinkable. We have sounded the alarm once again in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And it is available right now through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute to keep this ministry as a beacon for truth, shedding light, and not just exposing darkness, but shedding light in the sense of building a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. The broadcast is over. You got thousands of people calling in. I'm sorry I haven't been able to get to you, but I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. We're going to continue the show off air, and we're going to play what we do off air on tomorrow's broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for part one of Hank's special program discussing his timely resource, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Hank will return again tomorrow with day two on this important topic. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore. And in the early 21st, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with even bigger platforms, like Joel Osteen, John Hagee, and Joyce Meyer, who are increasingly viewed as mainstream. T.D. Jakes is trumpeted by Time Magazine as perhaps the next Billy Graham. Call today and order your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, when you give a gift to the Christian Research Institute. Call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or log on to www.equip.org 24 hours a day. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about autographed and personalized leather editions. Also, you can write to us at CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.